5 p.m. Time for American Hit Radio, WHPC 90.3. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, my lovely wife, co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well. Today, we'll be here just for an hour. Last week, we did our fundraiser. I wish I could thank everybody again personally just for the incredible kindness that was shown from so many. Some remarkably kind donations, and I want to thank everybody for that very, very much. We will have another, a version of this on a Wednesday for our Wednesday program, which is considered a different show. And after that, we'll be done, because we only do this once a year. But once again, thank you so much to everybody for showing us such love and kindness. It's really appreciated. But we can get back to the Kinks now. We've spent 21 weeks, Heidi, 21 shows covering the Kinks. And what we're up to now is 1972. And this is where, I guess you can look at it two ways. This is where some people, like certain Kink fans, got really, really serious about their love of the band. It's like when they became a cult band. And I think the reason this all happened is because in the early 70s, the Kinks blew their golden opportunity to become superstars. After like the sudden resuscitation of their career with like the incredible success of Lola, I mean, that song was a huge hit. They basically were set up. I mean, it seemed so easy. All they had to do was basically do what they did, keep doing the same thing. It was inevitable that they would take their rightful place with the other major English bands of that era, like The Who and Led Zeppelin.
And the Stones. And the Beatles.
Well, not the Beatles.
Okay.
They're gone. But yeah, like
Stones, to be mega stars.
They should have been. But this didn't happen, obviously. I mean, it might have been due to the personal lives of Ray and Dave. Ray was going through a divorce from his wife, which I don't really cover too much because I try to avoid a lot of the personal stuff except for what they write about in their book. And Ray doesn't talk about it all that much. And Dave Davies, with his addiction and his issues that were affecting him while the band was touring. Basically, you know, both of them had suffered from paranoia as well. So this affected their attitudes toward their career. But the Kinks totally blew their opportunity. Instead of staying focused on their second chance, because that's what Lola was. It was a revitalization, and it gave them a second chance. The band instead decided to become, you could honestly say, a caricature of themselves. They performed as a modern version of a fey British music hall comedy act in their live show. Perhaps the most frustrating aspect of all this was that the band remained so incredibly entertaining, even while most Americans lost interest. They lost their audience, but they did attract a cult following that related and actually and reveled in their self-destructive tendencies. A Kink show was something to behold because you didn't know if the band was going to end up standing on their feet by the end of the show. Around this time, they released an album called Everybody's in Showbiz that was half live. And the live half is pretty nuts because it captures that beautiful car wreck aspect of the band in all its glory. It was recorded from a performance in New York City's Carnegie Hall in March of 1972. So in the interest of continuity, I'd like to play that show with very few interruptions. We'll just let it roll as though it's like two album sides. So just listen to like how Ray sounds, like almost like a pinball careening from topic to topic, going places where the band doesn't even know that he's going to go. It's really odd. It's something to behold. You can imagine how seeing a band like this, you could see them live dozens of times and you'd never really see the same show because they would behave differently every single night. Here's a good example of that. The live side of Everybody's in Showbiz, or you could call it Drunkards in Showbiz.
All right, let's hear it for the Kinks.
We'll be right back. so maybe swap me out. Yeah. There, there, we're not here on the ground, there with the stars. All you have to get you out and push you around to the can't take it.
It's a really heavy, heavy number. You know, I just, if you can't take it, leave the building. Maestro. Schizophrenia, you see. Well, the milk is bad, and the grocery keeps on following me. And the woman next door's an undercover for the KGB. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to imagine you're on a beach in the south of France, on Staten Island, with a beautiful person. Introduce you to Mr. Mick Avery on the drums. Let's have a Mr. Mick Avery. Mr. John Dalton on bass guitar. Mr. John Dalton on piano. And thank you very much. And on my lead guitar, my brother, Mr. Dave Death of a Clown Davis. I guess you all know who I am. My name is Johnny Cass. Nice to see you all here. I like to do a little song with the help of John over here, who's gonna help me along with this song. Want everybody to join in and sing along. When I said goodbye to Rosie Rook this morning, gonna miss her bloodshot alcoholic eye. She wore a Sunday hat so she'd impress me. I'm gonna carry her memory till the day I die. I'm gonna move me up to
minds we held tomorrow. Photographs and souvenirs are all I've got. They're gonna try and make me change my way of living, but they'll never make me something that I'm not. All right. 'Cause I'm a Muswell Hill band boy, but my heart lies in old West Virginia. Though my hill and I dream, I've seen them in my dreams. Take me back to the Black Hills, but I ain't never seen. Well, they'll try and make me study elocution, because they say my accent isn't right. They can clear the slums as part of their solution, but they're never gonna kill my coffee pride. All right. I'm a Muswell Hill band boy, but my heart lies in old West Virginia. Oh, my hill and I dream, I've seen them in my dream. Take me back. Take me back to the Black Hills that I ain't never seen. Take me back to the Black Hills that I ain't never seen.
Thank you very much, a great time.
All right. There you have it. At least half of it so far. The half of the live half of the album, Everybody's in Showbiz, where you hear it's just such a, you can hear how they're just such a weird band around this point in time. Davey sounds sort of like a loaded master of ceremonies, like a compere or something, hosting a game show almost from the stage, like this tipsy cruise ship director or something. And they're relying a lot, which is not unusual, on the songs from their previous album. Muswell Hillbillies was the most recent album, which we just played it recently. So in a lot of these songs, I guess, could be redundant to that show, except for the feel of the songs, where you hear, like, basically Ray just trying to relax and have a good time. I think that, like, generally, I don't think he was very happy at this point in time in his own life with the divorce and everything that was going on. But the stage was a bit of a reprieve. And the band certainly was not afraid of drinking when they were playing. So it ended up for some, like, rather unique moments. Let's just, I'm going to do the same thing. We'll just play the second half. We'll just let it go from Everybody's in Showbiz, the live side. We'll do that. And I've got a whole bunch of like rare tracks that we could probably get to after that if there's time for them. So that's what we'll do. Here we then will pick up with another song from the Muswell Hillbillies collection, a song called Alcohol.
Now I want to tell you a little story about the old demon alcohol. Yes, indeed. My little chickadee, here's a sad and woeful story about a middle-class executive who enjoyed a life of prominence and position. But the pressures at the office and his socialite engagements and his selfish wife's fanatical ambition, it turned him to the booze, and he got mixed up with a floozy, and she led him to a life of indecision. The floozy made him spend his dough. She left him lying on Skid Row. A drunken lag at some Salvation Army mission. It's very sad. Yeah.
tequila, rum, scotch, vodka on the rocks. As long as all his troubles disappear, then he beat up his life, but he messed up his wife, and the flu's his young father of the suburb. He's gonna turn him on to drink, lead him to the brink. When his money's gone, she'll leave him in the gutter. It's very sad. Oh! Oh!
Mr. Mike Cotton on the trumpet. Let's hear it for Mike on the trumpet. Mr. Davy Jones on clarinet. And John Beecham on trombone. Yes, come on. Oh, terrible. Thank you. So lovely to be wanted.
A room without you and you.
What? Yes, we want to do a song now. It's about a girl called Flat Fabby Annie, who was incredibly big. She weighed just about 16 stone. And it's a bebop song. And everybody join in and do a little bit of bebop. Bebop, boogie, and jive. All right. She weighed just about 60 stone. And then a fake dietitian went and put her on a diet. Now she looks like skin and bone. She looks like skin and bone. Do the meditation and yoga. She's sort of with a good food guy. She's giving up the alcohol, the pizza, and the pies. Now she
you're looking like you're ready to die. You gotta see you walk by. You don't eat no mashed potatoes. You don't eat no buttered scones. You don't eat no carbohydrates. You're gonna look like skin and bones. She says you got no happy time. And the father and the mother and the sister and the brother's gonna see you when she walk by. You can't see you walk by. Don't eat no mashed potatoes. You don't eat no buttered scones. Stay away from carbohydrates. Gonna look like skin and bones. It used to be some country.
Now, back in 1972, when the album came out, Everybody's in Showbiz, it was a double album, as I said, with one side of it being the studio side, and the other album was like, I guess what we just heard was a second disc of that live recording. And I still sometimes wonder, like, what were they thinking? There's so many things that they
so goofy.
I know. There's so many things that they could have done, and they were so, like, on the cusp of being incredibly famous. I mean, right there, for example, the version of Babyface had about 10 times
weird.
More effort put into it than the version of Lola.
True.
You know, Lola just, it was just, like it's almost like they're mocking, it was like willful destruction of their career in so many ways. They just could have waited and put out, you know, something that basically that would rally the fans and get everybody back to loving them. But as a result, they ended up becoming one of the most beloved cult bands in America at around this time. It was incredible fun, but it wasn't the type of thing. I mean, I'm sure that the average American was saying, wait a minute, these are the guys that played You Really Got Me and Sunny Afternoon? It doesn't add up. I don't get it. You know, they would sound weird. Now, with the remaining time, I got to... Well, actually, I'll do this. I mean, I'm trying to play as much of the officially released stuff as I can, trying to not get redundant unless there is a live album, as was the case here. Now, when this album was released, they added two bonus tracks. One of them is one of those, a latter-day version of one of those early songs, so it's worth it to hear that. The CD, like re-release of the thing, actually added an entire new CD of crazy, goofy live stuff. So if you're a big Kinks fan, it's worth it to find it, to hear some of the alternate versions of what they were doing live at around this time. I won't go there because I don't see much sense in taking three shows to play just extraneous live songs of stuff that we've already covered. But I did want to play the album itself in its original form when it came out. And I'll play these two since they were extracted as bonus tracks for the re-release. The first up will be Till the End of the Day.
Good evening and welcome to the Carnegie Hall this evening. Oh, yes. Baby, I feel good. From the moment I left. Thank you very much for coming this evening. It's been a pleasure. We hope to come back to New York again. Well, baby, I feel good. From the moment I rise, I feel good from morning to the end of the day. To the end of the day. You and me, we live in the night. From when we get up,
she's cleaning the windows. She wears it when she's scrubbing the stairs. But you'll never see her at Ascot.
She can't afford the time or the fare, but she's bought a hat like Princess Marina, so she don't care. He's bought a hat like Princess Marina because it makes him feel like a lord, but he can't afford a rose or a Bentley. He has to buy a second hand for. But to look at him, you'd think he was wealthy, 'cause he smiles just like a real millionaire. He's born to act like
that's where we will leave it with the live tracks from this era. Like I said, though, if you are interested, the CD version of the album that came out has got a whole slew of extras, all stuff that is released that we covered already by playing the studio version. So I think that we're more or less true to my road when I say I'm trying to basically cover virtually everything by the Kinks without getting too redundant. They did have a lot of tracks that ended up not getting released. Stuff that was like left over from some of the albums. There's a couple of stuff from like the Lola album, for example, that were left over from this era. So let's play a couple of those tracks. I think that'll make a very interesting comparison with what we just heard from the live band. We'll play two tracks now. One is called Anytime, and we'll follow that with The Good Life.
Need someone your body around. You'll have a big Rolls Royce and make 1 or 10 million pounds. It's gonna be the good life. Good life. I give you wine, women, music if you sign on the dotted line. Good, good food. Good, good wine. My fingers get cramped.
Takes from this era, Anytime and The Good Life. The thing about The Good Life that I find interesting is that it's a really good example of hearing how Ray was beginning to play with his voice. He adds this warble a lot around this time that makes him sound sort of like a 1930s crooner. And yet he goes from that straight into like that scream of his. So it's a very interesting offset. You hear a good example of it on that tune. We've got time for just one more, so we'll drop in yet another outtake, and we'll come back next week with the actual album, Everybody's in Showbiz, which has got some beautiful material on it, and we'll see how much of that we can cover. So hope you can join us on Wednesday and Friday, of course, next week. Meanwhile, please enjoy yourself this week. Have a safe one, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Here, then, is a track called Lavender Lane, and take care, everybody.
Well, 1, 2, 3... 4.
Daisy and Ted, they had two cockney boys and two cockney sisters, and they all shared their toys with old Rosie Rook and Peggy O'Day. They all live together down in Lavender Lane. Lavender Lane, oh my Lavender Lane. The people were poor and the people were plain. They didn't have much but they shared what they gained. Contented to drift along in Lavender Lane. Oh Lord, it's such a pity that the world's gotta change. All of the houses were old and decayed. The people were proud who lived in Lavender Lane. body does, to mix with the people and to drink in the bars. They looked down their noses and they puffed their cigars. Instead of off, they said off. Instead of yeah, they said yeah. And oh Lord, and Ted and Daisy said what a shame. They'll knock all the houses down for financial gain and send all the people to a new town estate. The bright civil servants and the people in grey, they sent all their navvies with their buckets and spades to knock all the houses down in Lavender Lane. But worst of all, they've taken all the people away. Now only memories are all that remain of all of the people down in Lavender Lane.